بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. The last surah of the last juz of the Quran, Surah An-Nas 114. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Say, I seek the protection of the Lord of humans, Sovereign of humans, God of humans, from the evil of the sneaky tempter, who puts temptation into the breasts of human from among the jinn and humans. Last week we mentioned that these two surahs were revealed as a ta'weed or protection for different things which may befall on human beings which is out of their control. The first surah, Surah Falaq, deals with material and physical sort of ills that might fall on human being, which is out of their control. And the second surah talks about things that come from inside human being, inside human soul. And that is the waswas, the temptation, which is which could be found in the heart of every human being, and other things related to this waswas in the human soul. Of course, we'll discuss the function of this and why this is there, because we, of course, waswas or temptation is something which is always evil, and the question may arise that why it comes to our hearts, why Allah has ever allowed this to come into our house, even if to our soul and mind, even if it is from other human beings or other creatures like jinn. However, there are three attributes of God mentioned here at the beginning, which are very interesting. The protection is sought from Rabbun Nas, Malikun Nas, and Ilahun Nas. And of course, Rabb is the Lord, and Lord probably is not the good translation. It means someone who takes care and rears and brings up, makes something grow and look after all their needs. This is the meaning of Rabb. And when we say that Allah is Rabbul Alameen, it means that anything which is in this world, exists in this world, is catered for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will take place until Allah provides for it. So this is the meaning of Rabb. Malik is the one who owns, the one to whom things belong. And of course, the usual meaning of Malik is king. However, kingdom does not hold the true kingdom unless ownership is accompanied with it. That's why Allah is both Malikun Nas and Malikun Nas. However, the term Malik is used here, the one whose orders are influential and things act under his orders. Nothing would take place in this world until he leaves, he gives the leave and command for it to happen. So is Malik. And Allah is the one towards whom everyone tends for worship. So these three attributes, Rabbun Nas, Malikun Nas, and Ilahun Nas, are used here to show that if you want to seek protection from anything, whether it's coming from inside your heart or outside, he is the one to whom you have to turn, no one else. There was a custom in among Arabs at the time of Jahiliyyah that they used to seek help from supernatural beings, especially from jinn. because of course the angels were quite far-fetched from their reach. What they usually had some sort of contact with, and people claim that they have contacts with jinn, they could communicate with them, and they thought that these are more powerful creatures than human being, especially, for example, when they were traveling alone, and when they entered a valley or a scary place, they used to say that, "I seek protection from the Lord of this valley, from jinn, so that he protects me from whatever evil may come and fall on me in this valley." Now, of course, this was something which was vehemently condemned in the Quran. In Surah Jinn, it says, وَإِنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا. Some human beings used to seek protection from some jinn. Of course, رِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِّ is very interesting, because apparently there was some sort of communication between male from human being and male from the jinn. It says, كَانَ يَعُوذُ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنسِ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا. Not only they could not protect them, but they added to their problems. They added to their mischief, which was going to befall upon them. So this was a custom. Here it says, if you want to seek protection from anything, seek it from Allah. Why? Because first of all, He is Rabbun Nas. He's the one who caters for you. He's the one who looks after you, who provides for you. First of all, He's Rabb. Secondly, He is Malik. He's the only one who commands. Everyone should follow His commands. Therefore, you seek His protection. And thirdly, He's Allah. Now, there is a question here. Okay, we accept that Allah is Rabbun Nas. Here, mu'minun are not mentioned. It's Nas, human beings. Every human being, every individual, whether mu'min, kafir, they are called Nas. And Allah, we know, He's Rabbun Nas, He's Rabb for everyone. Malik al-Nas, He's the king of human beings, as He is the king of everything. So nothing would happen unless He gives the leave, He commands, accept. Agreed, this is He's Malik al-Nas. However, He is not Ilah al-Nas, because not everyone worships Him, isn't it? Well, we could say He's Ilahul Mu'minun from any religion. He's Ilahul Jews, Ilahul Christians, Ilahul Muslims. We can accept that because these people worship God. But there are many people who do not worship Him. There are many people who worship idols, who worship jinn, who worship angels. So why Ilahul Nas is mentioned here? Now, there is a very deep aspect to this, and that is the fact that He is not only Ilahun Nas, He's Ilah of everything in reality. Because this sense of worship, which is turning to something with humbleness, admitting that they are higher and we are lower, this is the meaning of worship, isn't it? When you turn towards something, whether it's an idol, whether it's God, angel, king, human being, you turn to them with that humbleness, thinking that you are lower, they are higher, you have to pay tribute. This is the meaning of worship, to them. Now, in reality, Allah is the Ilah of everything in this world. Although they may not realize, those who worship idols or kings or whatever, or supernatural beings, they want to turn to something which is higher, which is superior, so that they seek their help. Or they just say that, they admit that we are lower, we humble ourselves towards you, not knowing that these things do not deserve that. And this sense of humbleness is put in human being because they have to turn towards God. And in essence, whoever worships anything, they are trying to show that sense which Allah, that quality which Allah has put in their hearts, but they don't know how to express it, to whom they have to express it. And some of the mystics say that actually it is impossible to worship anything beside Allah in reality. Of course, it appears that people are worshipping things beside Allah, but because they think that these things that they worship have some command, have some influence, they worship them. But they don't know that they doesn't have any of them, and therefore they don't have any of them, and they are in effect, they are trying to worship God. I remember Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, when he was giving this tafsir of Surah Al-Hamd, he was interpreting this verse of Surah Al-Isra, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Allah has commanded, Allah has ordained that no one but Him should be worshipped. He said, this is not a tashri'i command, this is a takwini command. The difference between tashri'i and takwini is that tashri'i is an order which you can follow, you can disobey. Takwini, which is related to creation, is something that you cannot disobey. You have to follow. It's part of your creation. You can't say that I voluntarily breathe. If you don't breathe, you die. This is takwini. Allah has ordered, has commanded that human beings should breathe so that they live. And you cannot say, oh, I don't want to obey, I don't follow. Well, you die. And he said that, of course, many other mystics have said this as well, that when Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا, Allah has commanded that you would not worship anyone but Him, this is not tashri'i, this is takwini, this is related to your creation. Why you worship other things? Because you think they are Rabb, because you think they are Malik, because you think there is some benefit in it. While, of course, this sense of turning to someone who has all the benefits for you is put in your heart so that you turn to God. That is why here Allah is said to be Elahun Nas. And this, of course, idea is mentioned in many other places in the Quran. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَاهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَاهٌ. He is the one who's Elah in the heavens. That means the angels worship Him. Of course, whenever an act is mentioned to be performed in heavens, that is related to angels. And heavens, of course, are not different parts of universe or skies. There are other layers, other dimensions of this world in which the angels live. So, وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَاهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ Elah, He is the one who's Elah in the heavens, He is the one who's Elah in the earth. There is no other Elah. Now, again, we can think about what we usually say as part of our faith. La ilaha illallah. There is no Elah but Allah. Is this tashri'i or takwini? That means, do we say that we should not worship anyone but Allah? Or we say that in reality, there is no Allah but Allah. Of course, when we say we should not worship anyone but Allah, it means that they are not Allah, they are not Aliha, they are false Aliha. They are fake Aliha. The only Allah which exists for human beings, through which human beings can express this sense which is in heart of everyone, humbling themselves towards something. We see people humble themselves towards, say, for example, their masters, towards wealth, towards whatever benefits them in this world. And here we are told that you should not humble yourself before anything but Allah. That's why some sort of revolutionary Muslims, they come out and say that La ilaha illallah means you should not bow to any power, you should not bow yourself, humble yourself before anything. That's true. And they say that when you say La ilaha illallah, in fact, you are not putting yourself under the bond or under the rulership of something. You are freeing yourself from all bonds and rulerships. By saying La ilaha illallah, you are freeing yourself from everything else, and you only admit humbleness towards Allah, who is your Rabb, provides for you, who is your Malik, orders whatever should come to you in terms of benefit and harm. He is the one, in his hand is your benefit and harm, no one else. As in Surah Zumar, one of the beautiful arguments that Prophet makes against the kuffar is the verse which says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. It's a very simple, plain, and beautiful argument. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّهِ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. Now you say that these idols that we worship, they are intermediaries. They actually act as a mediation between us and God. They get the fadl and grace and they give it to us. And they protect us in situations which we need protection. Now, the argument is this: these idols that you say benefit you and protect you. If Allah wants to harm me himself directly, if he wants to harm me, can they stop him? No, of course they cannot stop him. If he wants to benefit me, and أَرَادَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ, if he wants to give me some mercy, can they stop him giving that? Of course the answer is no. قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ, say, so why should I go to these intermediaries? I go directly to him. So, he is Malikun Nas, he is Rabbun Nas, he is Ilahun Nas. So, to seek protection, the best place and the best person from whom and from which we have to seek protection is Allah, who's Rabbun Nas, Malikun Nas and Ilahun Nas. Now, previously in the previous verse, of course, we had Min Sharri Ma Khalaq wa Min Sharri Ghasiqin Idha Waqab, things which are outside our control and outside our soul. Here it says Min Sharri Waswas Al Khannas. Waswas is something which creeps sneakily into the heart. And Khannas may be an attribute for waswas. That means a waswas which comes and goes, which tempts in a way that sometimes it tempts, sometimes it stops. This is the meaning of khannas, something which appears and disappears. And it may be an attribute of the shaitan which brings this waswas. It may be the type of temptation and it may refer to the tempter. Now, this waswas or sneaky temptations are in heart of everyone. And we have to seek protection from them, from these temptations. All, as human beings, all of us have experienced this waswasa. Waswasa about the very existence of God, which comes to our hearts. Waswasa about whatever he does, waswasa about our relationship to him, waswasa about whether we have to seek, our pleasures or worshipping him, following his command, whether we should do this ethically, morally, all these things come under this waswasa issue. Even in our relations with other people, we always have this waswasa to cheat them, to deceive them, to seek our benefits. Actually, human beings, initially, they don't want to harm anyone. They want to seek their own benefits. And because their benefits somehow contradicts and conflicts with other people's benefit, then this waswasa comes that, okay, let us do something even if it's zulm, even if it's injustice, to get our benefits. Now here, this waswasa comes. And Allah says, you cannot help it. You have to seek protection from Allah, from this waswasa. What is this waswasa? Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas. Again, this alladhi may go back to khannas, the tempter, or may go back to this waswasa, which is khannas. That's why alladhi has come as a masculine. Yuwaswisu tempts or creeps. Alladhi yuwaswisu, the one which creeps into the heart of the people. And the origin of this is from other people or from jinn. Min al-jannati wal-nas. This waswasa comes usually, it's like a contagious disease. It comes from words. It comes from hearing other ideas. Now, the main question is, why this waswasa is there? Now, before going to that, let me read a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him. He said, this hadith is reported by Sunnis and Shias. There is no disagreement about the contents of this hadith, and it's mentioned in many different versions. مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلِقَلْبِهِ فِي صَدْرِهِ أُذُنَانِ. There is no mu'min unless there are two ears in his heart. Two ears. Just imagine your heart has two ears on each side. أُذُنٌ يَنْفُثُ فِيهِ الْمَلَكُ. From one ear, the angel blows, inspires things. وَأُذُنٌ يَنْفُثُ فِيهَا الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. There's another ear from which this waswasu al-khannas blows or inspires. فَيُؤَيِّدُ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Then Allah would help and support the mu'min from, of course, making him to hear the inspiration of the angel and reject the inspiration of the jinn or human beings which come into his heart as waswas al-khannas. وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. أَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ means Allah supports them with a spirit from him, which is of course in the Quran. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. Those in whose heart we have written faith, we support them with a spirit from us. Well, that's a different issue. I don't want to go into that. However, here it says the mu'min's heart has two ears. What about kafir? It means it has only one ear. One ear is deaf. The angel cannot speak or inspire because it has become deaf for non-mu'min. For mu'min, both ears are open. Both ears are open. You cannot somehow close the door to these waswasa. It always comes. Now, what's the function of this? Why Allah has put this? Now, in Surah Al-An'am, there is some explanation. Of course, there's some explanation. It's very, very complicated and difficult for us to find out why human beings are fall victim of these sort of inspirations, false inspirations, or evil inspiration. Why? However, it gives some explanation in Surah Al-An'am. It says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا. For every prophet we have set an enemy. It means the battle between haq and batil in this world should go on forever. You cannot eliminate batil, because that is what I have ordered, I have commanded to be there. This fight between haq and batil should be there. And each people should take, so that people could take side از امیر المومنین سیدی نهج البلاغه، حق و باطل ولکل اهل، there is حق there is باطل، for each there is people، they follow some follow حق some follow باطل. Now he says for every prophet we have put an enemy. Who are these enemies؟ شیاطین الانس والجن. So shaitan is not only from jinn, it's from ants, from humans as well. Shayateen of human and jinn. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. They inspire each other with flashy words, with deceptive words, to deceive each other. غُرُورًا, to deceive them. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكْ مَا فَعَلُوا. If God wanted, he would have stopped them. But he doesn't stop them. This is what he has planned, actually. Shaitan, Iblis, he thought that he went out of the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was what he had planned already. This was plan B. There was a plan A, that Shaitan would not go astray. But when he went astray, this was the plan B, that Allah allowed it. قال هذا علي يسرات مستقيم. When he said, I go and lead all your human beings, your dear human beings that you have made them over me, ask me to prostrate, I go and lead all of them astray. Allah said, قال هذا علي يسرات مستقيم. I allow it. Go and do it. So this was his plan. Now, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. Leave them, let them to do it. Now, why? Why do I allow it? Why I do not stop it? وَلِتَسْغَى إِلَيْهِ أَفْئِدَةُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. This is a very, very deep idea. As I say, it's very complicated to understand. وَلِتَسْغَى إِلَيْهِ أَفْئِدَةُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَلِيَرْضَوْهُ وَلِيَقْتَرِفُوا مَا هُمْ مُقْتَرِفُونَ. So that those who do not believe in akhirah, those who tend only towards this fleeting dunya, they listen and they accept it and they become happy with it. And then they do whatever they have to do. It means that this is how we have made things to develop. Human beings should develop by his own free will. And free will works when there are two conflicting things coming to a person in every decision. One from the angel, good inspiration. One from this shayateen ul jinn wal ins. It means even when you read a book written by a shaitan ul ins, an evil human, even if you listen to a play, if you watch a movie, these ideas creep, these are waswasa coming. They may be good, they may be evil. Waswasas may come. And this is how it works. So that if you do not believe in akhirah, you find it very interesting, you are happy with it, لَيَرْضَوْهُ. And then you develop yourself. You develop your soul. This is how the souls are developed. You develop it towards hell, or you develop it towards paradise. It's not Allah who punishes or gives rewards, although everything is in his hand. It is us who move towards hell or who move towards paradise by لَيَرْضَوْهُ وَلَيَقْتَرِفُوا مَا هُمْ يَقْتَرِفُونَ. Now, since it is there, this is the part of creation, you human beings who are mu'minun seek protection from Allah. And Allah would protect. If you seek protection, Allah would protect. One very important point which is mentioned here about this ta'weez, seeking protection from waswasa, is when you recite the Quran. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Quran, seek protection from Allah. Because it is the moment when shaitan tries to find some way in your mind. Oh, what does this verse mean? What is it?
a quite trivial thing. Why Allah should, for example, reveal these trivial things? Or many other things which may come to the mind. These are old stories, or these are not relevant to us. And many other things which may come, and doubts, hesitations, all these things when a person recites the Quran. Or, what is more important, false interpretations. False interpretations are the most dangerous evil that may fall on a person's heart when they are reciting the Quran. Interpreting something wrongly, and we see that this has happened, of course. Very, very big personalities among the exegetes, for example, they have gone astray in many aspects of interpretation of the Quran. It happens. So when you recite the Quran, seek protection from Allah so that you understand it as it is meant by Allah, not understand it the way the waswasa inspires to you to understand. So this waswas wal khannas, of course, is very dangerous because you cannot see it. Yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas. It goes into the hearts. From the hearts to the hearts. From heart of a jinn to heart of a human. From heart of a human to heart of another human. By inspirations, by talking, by reading, as I said. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Of course, as I said, this comes not only from jinn or from things that we do not see. Ideas, words, advisors, these go from human to human as well as from jinn to human, and sometimes from human to jinn is possible, sometimes the other way around. So this is, of course, a good ending for the Quran, because after we finish the Quran, of course, we seek protection from Allah at the end, that He protects our hearts as well from misunderstanding what He has said. As in the beginning, of course, we say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala tahirin.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
You know, you mentioned that everybody has to, you know, you mentioned about the breathing, that everybody has to breathe, so you have to do what Allah says. Also, you mentioned about the fact that everybody is a believer. They all have to believe in God. I think this is how I understood
it. No, I didn't say they have to believe in God. I say that they worship God without knowing it. Because yes,
that's
humble
exactly
themselves.
What it is. Yes. They worship God without knowing it. In that case, everybody is a God worshipper and believer, in effect. Therefore, the situation between, like when we say, you cannot marry a non-Muslim or whatever, that doesn't come because everybody is a worshipper, so to speak.
Well, you mentioned a
very simple
thing. I thought you would say that no one should go to hell. That's more important than not marrying a non-Muslim or something like that. No, actually, whether we want it or not, we are all marbub of Allah. He's our Rabb, isn't it? That doesn't mean that all of us believe in it. Or our believers. Whether we want it or not, He is the King. And that, again, doesn't mean that we believe in it. And whether we want it or not, He is the Allah. And that doesn't mean that we all believe in it. We do certain things to evade this. But it's futile. No matter whatever we do, He is the Allah. And one of the pains of people in the hell is that they realize this in the hell, but they cannot help it. They cannot do anything about it because they cannot worship Him. They realize that He is the one that should be worshipped, but they cannot worship it. And this is what is mentioned as well in the Quran. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ فَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. When everything becomes clear, Then the people are all called, now come and worship God. Come and worship Him, that now is quite clear that He is the one that should be worshipped. They are called towards it, but they cannot do it, because they have not made themselves this habit of worshipping God, and they all tend to go into different directions. So that doesn't mean that everyone is a believer, but it is a reality.
Any more questions? Can you use the microphone, please?
Can you use the mic? Because beside the angels which record what you say, there is a recorder here as well that should record what you say.
Just saying, people, you know, when you ask God for something, He doesn't answer your prayers immediately, right? Things don't happen quickly. You're going through a lot of struggles. That's why people deviate and go other routes.
Yes, that's true. That's why we have to have patience, and patience is part of faith. I have mentioned this story before, but I mentioned this again. There was someone who had some communication with God, some prophet or someone. Once he said, "Ya Allah, what is the worth of what is the time?" The time span in your world, from the time you have created everything up till now, how long has it seemed to you? And he said, 1 minute. It's nothing. I mean, all these billions of years, it's just for me, it's 1 minute. Yeah. He said that, what is the value of everything that you have created, from gold and silver and all the wealth you have created? What's the value of it in your eye? He said, it's 1 dirham. Dirham is a very invaluable. And this man said, Allah, so couldn't you give me 1 dirham? And Allah said, yes, just wait 1 minute. Yes, we should have patience, of course. We should have patience.
Any more questions?
And actually, if we wait 1 minute, when we go to paradise, we will see that Allah will give that 1 dirham to us. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, this waswas that we get when we read the Quran, it makes people so fearful that they don't want to interpret anything. And there are a section of ulama who said that we have this Quran, but don't read it as far as the translation is. Don't try to understand it. It's not for you. It's for the A'immah to understand it and translate it to us and give us orders from it. We have such ulamas as well. But then if you look at the Quran...
We don't have anymore. Unless if recently some young people have come up with the idea again.
No, we had here in London in our lifetime, after we immigrated from Africa, who used to very clearly say, this Quran is not for you to understand. Mm. This is for the A'immah to understand and... It's not for you. Basically, he was telling us, so maybe it meant the ulama could maybe. Maybe we misunderstood. But then if you read the Quran, then it is, in one sense, very clear. That if we don't do tadabbur on the Quran, then maybe we have locks in our hearts. So how do you reconcile these two?
No, it's very clear. The Quran is revealed for us, not for A'imma, certainly. Of course, they make the highest benefit of it, but not exclusively for them. It's هذا بيانٌ للناس. This is a bayan, this is an explanation for human beings. As Allah is رَبُّ النَّاسِ مَلِكُ النَّاسِ إِلَهَ النَّاسِ هذا بيانٌ للناس. It's very, very clear. I don't think we even have to listen or discuss this issue, because it's quite obvious that it's for all human beings.
But accepting the fact that it's not meant to be only for the A'immas, if an ordinary person is reading the Quran, and if he gets ideas, how can he be sure this is not waswas, and it is the kind of tadabbur, the effect of the tadabbur or the tafakkur that he's doing?
Well, by comparing his own view with other views, with traditions that has come from A'imma, from the Prophet, peace be on him, of course these do not cover all the Quran, certainly. And by referring to views of other people, comparing them, thinking which one is better, which one is a better interpretation of the verse, which one goes better with rules of logic and rules of literature. This is the way to go about it. I mean, it needs some effort, certainly. That's why they say ordinary people should not try to interpret the Quran, they have to go to the tafasir. Why they say this? Because the mufassirun are the people who have done the efforts. Otherwise, everyone can do the tafsir. But they have to put in that effort so that they are able, so that their views are somehow heard. In every science, it's the same thing. If you are just a first-year student of BA physics, no one would listen to your views. But if after some while, after you have practiced the science and the theories and all these things, then your views would be heard. So for an ordinary person just going to the Quran and say, well, I understand this, despite all other understandings, his views are not heard because he or she is not the person who could provide views. But after that effort and study and these things, their views would be heard.
You know, you said that the waswas comes from the shayateen or jinn or other men, and then we have a tendency to...
And women as well.
And women.
Man and woman.
Well, I was trying to get away. And you said, and then, you know, we have the free will to decide. But the original source of when, you know, you said like sort of there was a plan A and plan B, you know, the shaitan decided to take plan B and turn away from Allah. But what about the original source of that? Was that inbuilt within him? You know, if he is the source and sort of it's a domino effect, what about the actual original? Is it something that's within us?
The origin is not evil. The origin is good. And it's not only in shaitan, in every human being. And that is a sense of self-respect, which Allah has put in all of us. That's izzah, which Allah has put in every creature, every creature with free will. But we misuse it. That is what shaitan misused. And that goes with everything that Allah has given us. Because of that free will, we can misuse or abuse these qualities that Allah has put in us. So the origin of that was good, that Allah had put that quality of self-respect in shaitan. He abused it. We abuse it as well. And that's where takabbur comes. And it's the evil side of, the dark side of that self-respect. There is, of course, the bright side of it, which is very good. Yeah.
It is possible not to see the Almighty, yeah? Allah. We all know that.
It is possible?
Not to see the Creator,
Allah. Yes, it's impossible to see Him, that's right.
But is it possible to see Satan?
Yes, it is possible because he is a creature, he's a jinn like other creatures, but not for human beings because our senses cannot catch that dimension except for very exceptional people. But when we are resurrected with new bodies and new qualities and new senses, then jinn and human beings can see each other.
Not in this world?
Not in this world, usually. Usually not in this world, but exceptionally, yes, it's possible.
Alaykum
as-salam.
When we were doing this last juz, I don't recall at any time whether this discussion took place unless I was away. But these last surahs especially, take from chapter 20, the Juz 29, 30th, the style of the Quran changes in terms of being very short, sharp verses. Is there something that is possible to either comment or to have a discussion maybe at another time about this change of style in the Quran, these end surahs as opposed to, say, the earlier surahs where verses are slightly longer, more detailed, much more in terms of content to do with day-to-day affairs, whereas the end verses tend to be much more to do with perhaps heaven and hell and other things.
Yes, actually some people have tried to explain this in terms of the chronology of the revelation of the Quran. And they have said that these short surahs, which deals with dramatic issues like Day of Judgment and destruction of the world, and has a different style, they came right at the beginning of revelation in Mecca, and then longer surahs followed, especially in Medina. And they have actually tried, with the length of the surahs and ayat, they have tried to build up a sort of different chronological order of revelation with what has been mentioned in traditions of the exegetes. And one of the people who have done this is Marhum Bazargan in a book which he has statistically investigated the length of these surahs and ayat and has provided the chronology. However, this may be very much debateful because we know that many of these short surahs were revealed in Medina as well, and at least it is disputed that they were revealed in Medina. Some of them, of course, we may know for sure. For example, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, we know that it was the first surah revealed in Medina. It was one of the short surahs. After the long surahs which were revealed in Mecca, for example, Surah Hud, Surah Yunus, these surahs which were revealed in Mecca, long ones, then some of these short surahs, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, is disputed. These Mu'awwadhatain are disputed as well, and many other surahs that we discussed. Surah An-Nasr, of course, is known for sure that it was revealed in Medina. So that argument is somehow disputed, that you cannot determine the chronology of the revelation by the length of the surahs or length of the verses. Generally, we can say that it depends on the context and the concept that Allah wants to convey. If it's a short concept and wants to be conveyed sharply to the listener, it is revealed in these short surahs. But when it's something that should be explained, different things should be involved and incorporated, then of course the longer surahs have been revealed. However, of course, we cannot make a final judgment in this. Something yet to be investigated, I think.
Just one more thing. Also, I mean, would the same thing then apply in terms of the... I mean, although you could argue that there might be some rhyming prose going on in the earlier surahs, but certainly in the later juz, you can see that the rhyming and the ending of the letters, exactly the same letters occurring, or the patterns occurring, is much, much more than the earlier one.
One reason maybe, because in a short piece of literature, you can follow that. But in longer piece of literature, it's not only it's difficult, it's not nice even to follow that style. One reason may be this. But as I said, there is room for investigation in this.
Nizarko?
So much power, right, that you can keep the jinns away. I've heard life stories where people have got repossessed by jinns, right, shadowed by jinns, and they've prayed this surah and nothing's worked, and the jinn has still stayed there, and I'm wondering, well, you know, how come that is possible? If you pray the surah, it's supposed to protect you, how come people still get repossessed? So surely the...
I make a general comment on this. And the general comment is that sometimes it's too late for things to work, you see. Sometimes the carrier, the thing which should carry these things, is so weak that they don't work. It's just like prayer. Sometimes we are so far away from God that our prayers become very weak. The chance of response would become weak because of the dark heart. Sometimes you are very close. The chance of response is very high. Sometimes there are other reasons. You see, these issues are so complicated that we cannot judge why they happen. Sometimes there is a wisdom behind it that we don't know at all. So, and in many cases, it is thought that people are somehow possessed by jinn, while they have another sort of disease. So, what I advise is we better just put this sort of analysis completely outside our realm of treating things and approaching things by trying to say, well, this is an effect of jinn, this is an effect of a supernatural thing. Because these are so complicated, we better just put them outside our analysis and calculations and try to approach things from a material and physical way rather than from this way. This is what I advise.
Perhaps not totally unrelated to the preceding question. My question is about the jinns. I know in the past we have talked about this at length. And from what you said today and before, during the Prophet's time and before, people were able to communicate with the jinns. But I don't know where they have disappeared, because I certainly don't think, or I can't perceive me communicating with jinns. I don't know on my daily life individuals, friends telling me, oh, I had a chat with a jinn, or a jinn approached me yesterday and we discussed about this, or I communicated. The only group of people, and I say it with respect, that who do talk to me about jinns are those whom we in the medical world classify as paranoid illness or schizophrenia. But the interesting thing is that these people actually are normally the higher intelligent strata of society as well. Whether they do, I don't know, really. I have difficulty as a practitioner to get into their world of jinns that they talk about. So I'm asking you, how does one communicate with a jinn?
This is a very clever question. Well, they have not disappeared, but people are less attentive to this type of communications. They don't try to make such communication anymore, or at least in a very lesser extent they do it. But the communication still exists. However, what is wrong is to somehow try to bring that into realms of, for example, medicine or cure and these things. I think the duty of medical people is to explain things according to their own science all the time. Even if people say this is, for example, possessed by a general. No, this is a different realm. That means that we do not know about it, just leave it. We just analyze things according to our knowledge. However, absolute denial is not right as well, because there are people who have rightfully claimed that they have this sort of communication. And there is a mention of these creatures in the Quran. There's a mention of this communication in the Quran. So I think personally we have to just try to avoid these sort of communications. But if some people do it, we should not deny it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Those who make the communication are losing out. Yeah.
I understand from Surah Al-Jinn that these communications and the effects of jinn were prevalent before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but once he appeared, everything stopped. كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنَا مَقَاعِدَ السَّمْعِ فَمِنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. They've been shut down from
the heavens
and from Al-Mala al-A'la, from everything.
Yeah, from Mala al-A'la.
Even communications with human beings have stopped because of the Prophet, peace upon him.
No, the communication with humans have not stopped. What did stop was kahana. And that is because the kahins or the sorcerers, what they did, they used to get news of the future events from jinn. Where did the jinn bring the news of that future events? By communication with Mala'ul A'la, by having some sort of sneaky look at that realm and getting some glimpse of the future and then convey it to their partners from human beings. Since that was stopped, kahana is stopped. So sorcerers, anyone claiming sorcery now is a liar. After the Prophet, that communication is stopped. Yeah.
Ali.
Salaam alaikum. Evil waswasas, in contradistinction with the path of God, you said allows one with free will to make a choice between the two. So in this way, evil waswasas, in a sense, become prerequisites for free will. Did God create these these evil waswasas and acts, or are they a form of absence of his creation, given that we say he created, he allowed free will?
Not God creates this waswasa. The waswasa comes from human and jinn, and that's the evil side of their creation. You see, God never creates evil. Because he has given us free will, then there is an evil side to us. It's from us, not from God. And also, because there are sort of conflicts between different parts of creation in their duties and in their functions, then comes evil again. Like, for example, rain comes, it's very good, but that may destroy some sort of crops and these things. That's evil side of it. It is part of the overall creation. The source of it is the creation itself, is not God. However, all these will go away in the new creation. When Allah destroys this creation and restores it in a different way, أَمَّنْ يَبْدَهُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ, then all these would go away. And that is when, of course, we can have a sigh of relief when, inshallah, we go to paradise, that all these things are settled. And in a way, we realize what a dangerous place we were living in, and alhamdulillah, Allah saved us to paradise.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think we'll end there. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. Is there a final decision on the surah we are doing next week? Surah Al-A'raf? Inshallah.